In the 10-year period to 2014, the proportion of Australian households renting increased from 25% to 31%. According to a new report, Unsettled Life in Australia's Private Rental Market, there appears to be a power imbalance in favour of landlords in today's competitive rental markets. 42% of people feared a rent increase and 23% feared being evicted. And what role does the notorious real estate agent's blacklist have in the equation? We find out. People renting properties are now more fearful of mentioning defects in their properties as they may get either rent increases or worse, evicted. Tom McDonald is tenants advocate at the Redfern Legal Centre.
Well, I think as rents rise and rents become less affordable, I think it is making the situation even harder for tenants because in New South Wales and in most states of Australia, you can be evicted for no reason from your rental property. So if you are evicted, you're faced with having to find another place, maybe with not that much notice. And with rents being the way they are, that's a very daunting prospect for most tenants.
But the problem in many cities is the high demand for properties, as John Cunningham, president of the New South Wales Real Estate Institute, explains.
Every weekend we face the same situation. We could have some properties that have no one through. We could have some properties that have 40 groups through. And out of those 40 groups, we might get 12 applications. We have to deal with each one of those fairly. And there are going to be 11 disappointed people. That's the reality of the world we live in. Even though there's been a lot of media about investors swamping the marketplace, it hasn't resulted in more property available across the board. Sure, there's some locations. And unfortunately, when you do statistics, they tend to take a very macro view, whereas the markets that we work in are very micro. So if you've got the areas that have got a lot of new construction, those areas are much easier to find a rental property. But in established areas like the mostly eastern seaboards of Sydney and inner west, for example, much, much harder because that's where people want to live and there's not enough property to supply that demand. So unfortunately, unless someone can invent a new system, there is a complaints about auctions of rental properties, and I personally don't agree with auctions of rental properties, but the reality is the market forces determine that.
But the market forces are also providing a thriving blacklist information industry, which provides real estate agents with histories of less desirable tenants. And with fierce competition, there is little privacy for tenants looking for a home. Tom McDonald again.
When you apply for a property these days, you have to fill out a number of forms now and give over a number of quite detailed financial documents, bank statements, payslips, that kind of thing and beyond. So I imagine tenants probably do feel that their privacy is being intruded on when they apply for a property. And I think they probably feel like they've got no choice but to provide that if they're going to be competitive in getting the property.
And a lot of them also feel that they've been discriminated against, you know, if they've got children or pets or these sorts of things. I mean, I know some landlords say they don't want pets, so yes, they would be discriminated against. Mm. But you get the feeling that sometimes they decide they just don't like the look of you.
Yeah, that could be right. And you might not really know the reason why you haven't received the property, which can make it very difficult, I guess, from a legal point of view and a discrimination point of view to take it any further. And really, most tenants, there's nothing you can really do about that in practice.
John Cunningham acknowledges that it can be very hard to get the rental property you want.
When you're up against people who have got better references or better track record, that's how it plays out.
And, of course, some people aren't that experienced at selling themselves as a good tenant, are they? Particularly, you know, if it's your first time renting.
Look, absolutely correct. I was only having a conversation with someone today about this, and they said their daughter's been struggling to find a property, first property out of living at home to rent. And I gave that person advice on how to assist that. And clearly from a parent's perspective, and not everyone's got parents that can support them, but those that do, even guaranteeing that the rent will be paid goes a long, long way. But also getting references in advance from your employees, whether you worked at Macca's or whatever it may be, get references. The more information you can supply an agent to actually fulfill those 100-point checks, the better it's going to be. And sometimes, yes, you might not have the track record, but everything else is so much more overwhelming that, you know, you might have even got a reference from your school principal. I'm just plucking things out of the air. But the reality is the more you can supply to verify that you are going to go in that property, one, be able to pay the rent, two, look after it, absolutely you're going to get higher in the ranking, and that's the reality of the world we're in.
Because I suppose, you know, if you're a group of four 19-year-olds and you're wanting to move into a house, initially the feeling would be, sounds a bit risky, particularly if they haven't rented before.
Absolutely. And if you owned a property and you were renting it out and you wanted to make sure it was maintained and that you had tenure, because a lot of 19-year-olds will come in, but one will disappear in 3 months, another one will go after 6 months, and they've got to bring other people in. There's a higher level risk involved in that, and I'm generalising here, but that's, again, the reality of the situation. So the more they can do to take the responsibility of what they're taking on, because when they sign a lease, they're actually signing a lease to pay the rent on that property for 12 months. And that's something that I think a lot of people fail to realise. And I think it's also something that some agents fail to explain fully to prospective tenants, that this is an obligation. You're signing a contract, a legal document that you're obliged to fulfil.
Was there still blacklists or bad tenant registers and those sorts of things floating around the real estate agent community?
Absolutely, yeah. They're based around non-payment of rent and damage to property. They're the only two things that can apply to that. So if a tenant skipped the property, we have situations, for example, where someone's in a 12-month lease and after 6 months they decide they don't want to live there, so they get way, way, way behind. They might be 4 weeks behind in their rent. We're going through the process of getting them terminated, and then they bolt, and we've got an empty property and we've only got the coverage of the bond to cover the loss of rent. And then we've got to relet the property. It could take 2 to 3 to 4, 6 weeks, and the landlord's out of pocket. So those situations are something that, we have to, everything's got to be covered, you know. Both sides are protected in that.
And what happens if you're sort of, a woman been in an abusive relationship and there's been damage in a particular place and noise complaints and this sort of thing, but now that's all, over with. How does she sort of get back off the blacklist?
The new, the review of the Act that's going through at the moment has some very specific references to domestic violence issues and victims of domestic violence as to who is responsible for that damage. There's a big black hole in it in terms of what happens if a husband runs away and the wife's left with holding the can. We believe that that shouldn't be the responsibility of the landlord. It should be the responsibility of government. If they're going to make laws like that changes, they get a massive amount of money from trust account interest, because it doesn't go to anyone, it goes to the government. They get massive amount of money from bonds being held in trust, and we believe the interest on that should be directed to things like this, where people who have been victims of such things, one, can get some relief, and two, the landlords can be compensated for loss of rent or for damage to the property.
And if a landlord has to spend a substantial sum on a property, wouldn't a tenant expect that he or she'd be looking for, maybe a rent increase in the future to cover the outlay?
Not necessarily. I mean, a landlord has an undertaking to supply a property that is safe, free from harm, and is habitable. Now, sure, I'm not defending all landlords here. There are some shockers out there. But the majority of agents, the majority of landlords look after their tenants. They ask one thing and one thing only: please pay your rent on time so that I can meet my requirements and I will look after the property for you.
But Tom McDonald says that the termination of a lease without any reason is the biggest issue for tenants in Australia. Unlike other countries in Europe, for example, where reasons must be given for terminating a lease.
The biggest thing really is the no grounds termination notice. The fact that tenants can be evicted for no reason, that really does affect all the other rights that tenants have, the rights to ask for repairs, the rights to contest a rent increase. If you can be evicted for no reason, then those rights start to look very weak. And what this report is showing and what we see, I guess, when we talk to tenants is that tenants are fearful of bringing these problems up with their landlords because of the risk of being evicted and having to move, which is a real fear.
And I suppose you'd recommend when you move into a place, the real estate agent will take pictures. You should take your own pictures and keep them on file, and then you take your own pictures at the end as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's probably a really good way to go about it, and to protect yourself is to be really thorough with the ingoing condition report and take your own photos and have your own record of what the property looked like when you moved in and when it moved out, because you don't need to leave it in a better condition than it was when you moved in.
And John Cunningham says while there may be a glimmer of hope for tenants, Sydney is still going to be a very expensive place in which to live.
At the moment, Fortunately for tenants, the rents have not gone up to the extent the property values have gone up. So what's happened as a result is that landlords' return on their investment has been less. So they're not getting the same yields they were getting before. They're having to certainly bolster those repayments themselves because the rent's just not covering it. So that has been, I think, big assistance to tenants. But we're heading into a continuous market cycle in Sydney where it's becoming more and more in demand. And in reality, will we see that change? I don't think so. I think Sydney is going to be an expensive place to live.
John Cunningham, President of the New South Wales Real Estate Institute, ending that report. I'm Roderick Chambers, and you're listening to On the Money.